We read this morning from the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The writer is Luke, whose first book, of course, we know as Luke's Gospel. Luke wrote about what Jesus said and did in his first book. He now moves on to volume two of his story. And at the end of his Gospel, he leaves Jesus ascending from among the disciples. Luke now goes on to talk about the acts of the disciples or the apostles. Dear Theophilus, the previous book which I wrote had to do everything Jesus began to do and teach. I took the story as far as the day when he was taken up. Once he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to his chosen apostles. He showed himself to them alive after his suffering by many proofs. He was seen by them for 40 days, during which he spoke about God's kingdom. As they were having a meal together, he told them not to go away from Jerusalem, but to wait, as he put it, for the Father's promise, which I was telling you about earlier. John baptized with water, you see, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles came together, they put this question to Jesus. Master, they said, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not your business to know about times and dates, he replied. The Father has placed all that under his own direct authority. What will happen, though, is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. As Jesus said this, he was lifted up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were gazing into heaven as he disappeared. Then, lo and behold, two men appeared dressed in white, standing beside them. Galileans, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven.
Dave, we join in prayer. Lord our God, may what is said be marked by truth. What is heard and understood, be inspired by your Spirit. And what is decided, lead us every one to live the life of your kingdom for Christ's sake. Amen. A relative of mine, second cousin, works with the maintenance team maintaining the array of wind turbines on a sandbank called Robin Rig in the Solway Firth. Quite glorious part of the world. The estuary on the west side of the UK that separates England from Scotland. Okay, some of the old Cumbrian mining towns along the coast are looking a bit scruffy these days, but up that part of the world you are never far from a wonderful view. Across the sea to the north, to the hills of Dumfries, and south to the mountains of the Lake District, whilst waves lap the shore and the famous sea-washed Cumbrian grass. Imagine the view from the top of an 80-metre-high wind turbine. My cousin goes out with his team 2 or 3 days a week by boat. They jump off onto the concrete plinth at the bottom of one of the turbines. They climb up inside the 80 metres shaft by ladder till they reach the turbine housing at the top, where the systems are that convert the wind power to electricity, and they carry out essential servicing and maintenance. Except he doesn't get to see the view. Scotland, the lakes. On a clear day, you can see south almost as far as Blackpool and north up towards the Ayrshire coast. But he doesn't see it. There are no windows. The turbines look beautiful, dramatic from a distance, 60 of them. But he spends all his time inside. The workers who built it all see the view. The folks who paint the outside and keep it looking nice from a distance, they see it. But my cousin, all that beauty, and he doesn't see any of it. Today is Ascension Sunday, the day after Ascension Day, the Sunday after Ascension Day, when the church remembers the story of what happened when, as we heard Luke telling us in the book of Acts, Jesus' earthly ministry came to an end after he had appeared to his disciples and others, risen, and he ascended, was taken up, returned to his Father in heaven. Cue centuries of picturing what happened. Decades in our own time of trying to cope with this difficult part of the story of Jesus. It is quite hard enough today to talk about resurrection, about empty tombs and miraculous appearances and all that. But to try to convince folk that Jesus has ascended, that's really hard. In an age when concepts of up and down, God above, man below, are getting quite hard to sustain. Astronauts have been to the moon. We have all seen the photographs of that beautiful blue orb, the Earth, floating in space. Maybe you have visited Greece or Sinai and smiled at the stories of gods on mountaintops. We cannot any longer, now that we know that the Earth is not flat, talk about Jesus rising through the clouds to join God in heaven just above. We know we have to find ways of picturing it to suit our age. No longer so much up-down language, maybe in-out language. It's easier to ignore it altogether. Best not. You know, our world is a bit like that turbine housing with no windows. It can't see beyond the end of its own nose. Like the Galileans who hear the angels, don't stand looking up into heaven. That's our world. So it goes on looking for solutions to the problems it faces among the things that it already knows. Violence, dog-eat-dog competition, obsessions with security, division. My interests and those of my family or nation or tribe above all others. Ignoring the plight of the dispossessed who float in desperation in leaky boats in the Mediterranean or the Andaman Sea while we wring our hands, or whose self-esteem collapses on scruffy housing estates around UK cities as they get the message loud and clear that they're not worth very much. A world that does not think that there is anything beyond, anything more. Oh, some people do. You'll find lots of them in places like Glastonbury or Totnes, channeling spirits, reading crystals, playing tarot, yearning after a spiritual dimension to life. It is tempting to make the Christian faith appeal to them. If they're keen on spiritual things already, well, maybe it won't be very much more before they become interested in God. But that is not the ascension. The ascension is not about elevating the spiritual over the earthly, nor is it about don't gaze up into heaven, just get on with the job, like those maintenance engineers might do if there was a window. I know I would if I was there. I'd spend all my time drinking in the view and not getting on with the job. You have probably daydreamed like that as well, when the work has been piling up and there was a window to look out of, or the internet to distract you, or maybe just your own imagination. You know, somewhere to go in your imagination, away from reality for a few minutes, while you eat a Greek-style yogurt or a Mars bar, helps you work, rest and play. Mostly, it just helps you waste a few minutes. That's not the ascension at all. As if gazing on the feet of Jesus hanging out of the cloud, like so many images in medieval art, like the shrine at Walsingham, where there is a model of 2 feet hanging out of the ceiling for people to contemplate, as if that would be enough to make you feel spiritually close to the Lord. Well, if that kind of thing helps for you to get your mind round what the ascension means, then I say go for it. But what the ascension means is not where the body of Jesus is, but that where Jesus is, we are. That is, human life is held with Jesus, who is one of us, close to the life of God. And that's a kind of window. Maybe it is enough for my cousin and his colleagues to know that just outside, just the other side of the skin of the turbine housing, is the most glorious reality imaginable. The sea, the mountains, the vastness of the terrain, the beauty of the wind-driven blades, just there, just out of sight. Perhaps that's what the angels mean when they say, "This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will go in the same way as you saw him, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." That is where our hope lies, you see. Not in speculation, not in spiritual escapism, but in the reality that is just out of sight. Jesus, one of us, is with God, and he has taken our human existence with all its pain and all its hoping and all its dreaming and all its reality to be with the heart of God forever. And so close is he, so real is he, that his return is imminent. And then there will be no distance at all between us and the life of God. Well, because of the ascension, there is no distance between us and God. We don't need a window. But thank God for the windows, the worship services and the glories of the natural world and the encounters with people. The windows that open us onto the will of God and the nature of God and the purpose of God. But the windows are not there for us to stare out of, dreaming. They are there simply to remind us. We have been set free to get on with the task of Christian living, to love one another and serve the world. Windows for us and the world to see what God calls us to be. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And Christ is with God. And we are in Christ. And there is no distance at all between the life of this world and the life of God. And one day, maybe this day, maybe this moment, he will return. And then we shall see, as it were, face to face.